at 10 o'clock this morning. It's On the Ground Radio and part four of Black Power at 50. From Malcolm X to Barack Obama, the recent march against Islamophobia, a vigil for the homeless, and more. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, we welcome Melissa Yancey, author of a new collection of short fiction, Dog Years. And at 11:30, Radio Zine presents The Union Edge with a warning about unpaid internships and how Scandinavians got the economy right. The weather today, rain likely after 4, high around 44 degrees. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. A reminder that all new and increased gifts to KBOO are matched 1-to-1 through the end of the year, which is ending pretty quickly. So, please help us out. Thanks to the Collins Foundation and SSI Trading Systems. Double your pleasure. Go to KBOO.FM and click on donate.
Tune into KBOO every weekday at 7 p.m. for Hard Knock Radio. News and views from a hip-hop perspective with Davey D. Hard Knock Radio features in-depth interviews and profiles with community leaders, activists, hip-hop artists, and musicians, giving voice to community concerns and offering a unique forum to explore issues relevant to hip-hop community. That's every weekday at 7 p.m. here on your community radio station. KBOO Portland.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Happy New Year! This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I am Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Then we go to the general strike update and then some news shorts, and then I want to talk about the Russians and Trump. Probably not in the way you're thinking. And, of course, I will invite your calls. Would particularly like to talk to women today because the Trump inauguration is coming up, and there's a lot to say about Trump and his sexism. And this isn't sexism flavor. The guy seems to be rather dedicated, and this is a disaster. And so, speaking for myself, I'm not looking forward to that guy, but, I guess that's why we've got a general strike update here. Now, we're talking about general strike on January 20th. There are other dates. They're being bandied about their actions at different times between now and January 20th, and so I have some information on that. Protests are to form at Trump Tower in New York and Union Station on January 20th. There's information on refusefascism.org, which seems to be mostly a Chicago organization at this point, but they are trying for a national reach. They are calling for national protests on New Year's Eve. From the Facebook J20 General Strike, they write, Oakland J20 General Strike Schedule, Programa de la Huelga General. The Oakland General Strike, J20 and beyond, Huelga General contra Trump in Oakland, Jota 20 y más allá. Inauguration Day Teach-In versus Racism at Lewis and Clark College. Facebook on Seattle There is an organization from Seattle on Facebook, let me be more clear about that, called Resist Trump Occupy Inauguration. They write, we are participating in the birth of a mass movement for social and economic justice. Join us in the streets again to demonstrate a mass opposition to Trump and his agenda. Build a movement to fight racism, sexism, and Islamophobia. No border wall. Stop the deportations of undocumented immigrants. And they also write, tax rich millionaires. I'm sure they mean billionaires, like Trump, fund healthcare for all, make college free, Black Lives Matter, end rape culture, pussy grabs back, stop the Dakota Access Pipeline, green jobs now, no DAPL. And they write, the Democratic Party has proven they are incapable of stopping Trump. It is time to build a new party for the 99% based on the united power of all exploited and oppressed people, on movements for social and economic justice, on the belief that we can do better than this corrupt and rotten system. And they use the hashtags Resist Trump, Occupy Inauguration, J20, General Strike, etc. Also, from Facebook events, the in Oakland, the Ronald V. Dellums Federal Building at 1301 Clay Street will be shut down with a mass picket line disrupting all ICE and federal operations. And they write they will be providing, the organizers will be providing breakfast for the working class and the poor at the picket line. So there's a lot of organization moving forward, and there will be more details on that, on what is happening in Portland, as soon as I find it out. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. WTOP Washington reports presidential candidate Donald Trump was anything but conventional. Now military planners for the 58th presidential inauguration are preparing for a day that might not include traditional pomp and circumstance. Quoting Brigadier General George Dignan, generally speaking, the inauguration is taking shape as it has in the past, although subject to change, as you know. In a news conference Wednesday, Dignan was asked whether military planners anticipated Trump putting his non-traditional signature on an event full of tradition. And he responded, we are still negotiating with the Presidential Inaugural Committee as far as the specifics for the parade, but with the city laid out the way it is, the number of people we're bringing to the city, there's only so many ways you can make this thing happen, end quote. Major General Bradley Becker, commander of the Joint Task Force, providing military ceremonial support for the inaugural events, was asked about the biggest threat to a smoothly run operation. He responded, quote, at this point, the biggest concern is the number of potential protesters and how that affects the inauguration and the parade itself. Roped areas will be set up along the parade route for protesters, according to Baker and Brigadier General William Walker of the D.C. National Guard. It's unclear whether the new president will walk a portion of the parade route. General Becker said, clearly the Secret Service has talked about it. Previous presidents have done it, but at this point we just don't know what the president-elect plans to do during the parade, end quote. And if you look that up on the news search engines, you'll see much fretting about how many protesters are pouring into Washington. And of course, you can also find people calling for people, for protesters to pour into Washington to oppose the inauguration of the fascist. Now, I would like to talk about climate change and the Russians, and about Murmansk, and about who benefits from destroying the planet. Who benefits from melting the Arctic ice, which is happening right now this month and last month. Incredibly, there are melting events instead of freezing events. The ice is freezing on the northern polar ice cap now, and but it hasn't been freezing in the regular way. It got down to a record low, a record peak, that is, a record low of the peak. I don't know how you measure that. Anyway, then the melting just didn't stop. There were melting events in November and December. There were incidents in which the temperature at the poles were 30 and even 50 degrees Fahrenheit higher than they are supposed to be at this time of year. So if you look at a global map of the jet stream, and you can find various versions of this, but one that I enjoy looking at is done by a supercomputer. If you look at a news, well, let's see, you wouldn't use a news search, just use a search engine and look for Jetstream maps. You can find one that's done from satellite data by supercomputer, and it's fascinating what you can do. I mean, the very idea of having access to a supercomputer crunching satellite data is just pretty, you know, mind-blowingly modernistic for me. But you can do it, and if you have a touch screen, you can move the globe around and see what the jet streams are doing. And if you've looked at maps of jet streams before, and I imagine you have, you've seen them on the weather maps from the weatherman, they're more or less directional things. There's the circumpolar winds in the Antarctic, and there are lower latitude winds in the north, and they may form a standing wave or something, and you often hear, you know, you've seen this sort of weather thing, the sort of thing that you kind of nod off to on the television news, where they show you a standing wave on the jet stream and say, well, this area is going to be dry and that area is going to be wet because of the jet stream. Well, jet stream doesn't look normal. It's all torn up. It looks kind of crazy, not as crazy as it has at other times during the year. It has swooped down as far as the equator before this year. It's a mess. And this is directly related to climate change, of course. There's an here's some excerpt from an article on Climate Central by Brian Kahn. It was the 10 most important climate change stories. I don't want to go through all 10 of them, but he wrote, the Arctic was probably the weirdest place on the planet this year. It had a record low peak for sea ice in the winter and dwindled to its second lowest extent on record. The Northwest Passage also opened in August, allowing a luxury cruise ship to pass through. Now, speaking for myself, I found that an obscenity and was yelling about it on the air. And that's the sort of thing I want to talk about billionaires, oil billionaires, Trump, Exxon, and Murmansk. I'll get to that shortly. But returning to the article, those milestones themselves are a disconcerting harbinger of a warming world, but November brought an even more bizarre event. Normally, it's a time when night blankets the region and temperatures generally plummet to allow the rapid growth of ice. But a veritable heat wave ratcheted temperatures 27 degrees above normal, hitting pause on ice growth and even causing ice loss for a few days. December has seen a similar warm spell that scientists have found would be virtually impossible if it wasn't for climate change. The Arctic is the most rapidly warming region on the planet, and 2016 served as a reminder that the region is being dramatically reshaped by that warning. He writes, coral has had a rough go of it around the world for the past 3 years. El Nino, coupled with climate change, has caused a massive coral bleaching event around the globe. Nowhere have the impacts been more stark. Then, the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, up to 93% of the reef was rocked by coral bleaching as record warm waters essentially boiled coral to death. A third of the reef, including some of the most protected areas, are now dead. Researchers found that climate change made record heat up to 175 times more likely, offering a glimpse into the dystopian future reefs face. A 1.5 degrees centigrade rise in the global average temperature would essentially mean game over for corals around the world. So about 1.5 C, he writes, it's a threshold, 1.5 centigrade. It's a threshold that's crucial for low-lying island states. Don't let that scare you. It's 3 or 4 degrees Fahrenheit. To continue their existence, to say nothing of Miami and other coastal cities, passing it would essentially mean issuing a death sentence for these places, for corals and for Arctic sea ice and other places around the world. The globe got its first glimpse of 1.5 centigrade in February and March this year. Climate change, riding on the back of a super El Nino, helped crank the global average temperature to 1.63 centigrade above normal in February and 1.54 above normal in March compared to pre-industrial times. While the abnormal heat, he writes, has subsided a bit, it's likely that 1.5 will be breached again and again in the coming years and could become normal by 2025 to 2030. And that's where I say I'll bet it comes a lot sooner, because this is what I see over and over talking about climate change. Scientists, he writes, measure carbon dioxide in parts per million, and in 2016 it hit a not-so-nice round number at the Earth's Marquis Carbon Observatory, 400 parts per million. Despite the seasonal ebb and flow, there wasn't a single week where carbon dioxide levels dipped below 400 parts per million. It's the first time on record that that's happened. Because carbon pollution continues to rise, the world isn't going to see carbon dioxide dip below 400 parts per million again in our lifetimes, and likely a lot longer than that. Carbon dioxide has also breached the 400 parts per million threshold in Antarctica. First time that's happened in human history, and likely a lot longer. And in a report that was published this year, the World Meteorological Organization revealed that carbon dioxide passed the 400 milestone globally in 2015. So 400 parts per million was kind of a thing this year. And he writes, in case it wasn't clear, the clearest sign of climate change is heat. And this year had lots of it. Hot Arctic, hot summer, hot water. And so it's only fitting that the biggest climate milestone of the year, and a year that it is itself a milestone, is record heat. Of course, that was the biggest story in 2014 and 2015, for that matter. This year marks the third year in a row of record-setting heat, an unprecedented run. It's a reminder that we've entered a new era where our actions have changed the world we call home. We also have the ability, he writes, to decide what comes next. And as I was saying, that's Brian Kahn writing in Climate Central. You can find that at climatecentral.org. I am more pessimistic than Brian Kahn, and that was a pretty pessimistic article. But 3 years tells me that we're in runaway global warming. I mean, what the heck else could it be? You know, pardon me for making an unscientific opinion, but that's what it seems like to me. And that is the sort of thing that we're up against. What is to be done about it? So there are things that can be done. I do want to talk about, you know, there are changes taking place. So they're too late for this. We're 3 years into runaway global warming, so it's too late. Fossil fuel is kind of on the way out, and I have some information on that in a few minutes. Simply because solar is getting so cheap. More on that in a minute. The number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. I was saying I want to talk to women about the Trump presidency, what to do about it. Do you intend to participate in the general strike on the 20th? You know, it's advertised as a sick out. If that's the way that you need to get off work, then you can get off work and participate or not participate or as you like. That's the suggestion that we find with the organizers of the general strikes, which include Shama Sawant, Michael Moore, Robert Reich, promoters of the strike, I should say, and many others across the nation. And so as women, how do you view the Trump presidency, and what do you plan to do about it? Number to call, 503-231-8187. Continuing with climate change, now the near global retreat of glaciers over the last century provides some of the most iconic imagery for communicating the reality of anthropogenic climate change to the public. Surprisingly, however, there's not been quantitative foundation for attributing the retreats to climate change except in the global aggregate. This is from an article in Nature. A peer-reviewed article by Marcia Baker and Florian Herla. And they write, here we present a method for assessing individual glacier change based on the signal-to-noise ratio, a robust metric that is insensitive to uncertainties in glacier dynamics. Using only meteorological and glacier observations and the characteristic decadal response time of glaciers, we demonstrate, they write, that observed retreats of individual glaciers represent some of the highest signal-to-noise ratios of climate change yet documented. Therefore, in many places, the centennial-scale retreat of the local glaciers does indeed constitute categorical evidence of climate change. This sort of thing, it's hard science, and people are doing it and doing it the right way and very carefully. And I was pleased to see in the news that scientists are beginning to fight back against the deniers who have defamed them in public, and they are taking them to court and, you know, making them answer for twisting their words to fit the agenda of the fossil fuel industry, just to line their pockets. And so I'm glad to see them having to go to court and answer for that, and hopefully that their pockets will get unlined. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. You know, it's the end of the year. And everyone's fundraising, of course, because, you know, you can do that tax thing. I think it's $50 that you can contribute to any nonprofit organization and not have to provide any further details, if I remember correctly. So maybe you want to tag KBOO for $50, and maybe you want to think of a relative of yours who would appreciate, or maybe hilarious, really, really not appreciate becoming a member of KBOO. You can do that. You can sign someone else up as a member. It's fun, and all you have to do is pull up KBOO.fm, and you'll see the flashing banner on the top. It's not hard to do. Now's the time to do it because, you know, hey, tax break. Get your money back shortly, hopefully. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Been talking about climate change, been talking about Trump taking the presidency and what that means for women. Because I figured I'd start with women first, since that's half the population. That is the largest, what's the word, population group in the United States, 51%. Yep, we're the majority. And we're going to have a president who thinks he can grab our pussies and get away with it. How can that be? You okay with that? 503-231-8187. And Serge is on the air.
Good morning. This is Serge. And I want to talk about the Trump presidency and how we can protest, resist, and eventually win, because I'm sure that we are going to win. And I came to that conclusion after reading a wonderful book that I got for Christmas by Michael White, who is the co-founder of Occupy Wall Street. And he wrote a book called The End of Protest. And I suggest that everyone who is listening to this station, who is just listening to what's going on and doesn't feel good with this Trump presidency coming on, I suggest that everybody read this book, because he outlines a strategy that would be very efficient if we follow them and add our own style. I don't know. Have you heard about that book? And
also, I've heard about that book. Yeah, I have not read it. That's interesting. End of Protest by Michael White.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend about it yesterday, and I was telling him that when I'm done with the book, I will pass it on to him, and he said, "Oh yeah, that's great. What we could do too is buy a whole bunch and donate them to the local library." And so a lot of people can read that book and make their own opinion and decide what to do. Basically, the outline of the book is that from his experience of Occupy Wall Street that went viral around the world, he decided that it was time to change the tactics because it didn't really work. He worked to a certain level, but after that, nothing happened. Everything is pacified pretty much, and we are back.
Well, it was effectively suppressed. I agree with what you're saying there. I often add to that, and I will now, that in one sense it was a terrific success that finally there was some awakening of class consciousness around the world. And, you know, that phrase, we are the 99%, is accurate in the broad sense. And so that was a fantastic thing. But, yeah, to actually move the centers of power, much more needs to be done. Hey, thanks for your call and that suggestion. End of Protest. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Karen is on the air.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Good to speak with you. I just wanted to mention that on the 21st, there will be the Women's March here in Portland. If we can't get to D.C., we can do it here in Portland at 12:30. It'll be at NATO Parkway, starting near the Burnside Bridge. And also, just as a woman, I believe we have to form coalitions, broad-based coalitions with people of color. I'm a white woman. I'm in the NAACP, and I am going to go to a sanctuary movement stuff, and have already done so. And I think we also have to work to support Muslims in this country, and I've already been doing that and will continue to do so. In addition, the class-based work, which is extremely important, it's just that I'm 71 and old, but I would like to go to more marches and do more things, but I'm focusing on this kind of coalition building, and so I applaud everybody who's working on environment and who's working on jobs with justice and class consciousness. And may we all help one another and be there to support one another.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. The need to take leadership of people of color who have been fighting this fight and for whom this presidency isn't that much of a change, if it's a change at all.
Thanks
for your call. Number call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I've been asking since women are the largest group in the country. How do you intend to deal with a sexist presidency? And of course, it does take my question does take place. My question is asked in this context of this this phenomenon in which we have actually this is an apartheid regime. The election really was stolen. It wasn't just that there were millions more of the popular vote. The electoral vote was rigged and was stolen from people of color specifically. And the number to memorize, the website to memorize is gregpalace.com, but the number to memorize is that, and it's easy, the number of votes that were illegally excluded using interstate cross-check, broken machines, various techniques, uncounted votes, spoiled ballots, the whole shady rigmarole is six times just in the three shut down recounts. Remember, we didn't actually have a recount. All of the recounts were shut down. It was discovered just in those three states shut down recounts that the margin of victory for Trump was six times less than the number of people of color suppressed votes. So what does that mean? That means it is impossible mathematically that Donald Trump did not steal the election. He didn't need any Russians to do it. Can I get around to the Russians if I have a chance later? Actually, it would be great if I talked to so many women today that I didn't have time to get around to Murmansk and would put it off till next week. but of course, we'll see how that actually works out. The time is 9:25. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Number to call with your comments and questions is 503-231-8187. You know, there are some other headlines that I didn't get to. For example, on Radio Havana, Cuba. You know, this is the news you're not supposed to know. And there are so many stories that are just going to fly past because what passes for news in this country is really just mind-numbing propaganda. I mean, it's mind-blasting propaganda. The more you look at it, the more you realize how much we are manipulated to the point we don't even know what capitalism is for the most part. There are accountants. There are graduates of there are business graduates who couldn't really clearly tell you what capitalism is. And maybe I will a little later. But we are not told the news about important things like imperialism. And here's a little update from imperialism. It's from Radio Havana, Cuba. Turkish President Erdogan says he has confirmed evidence that the U.S.-led coalition is supporting Daesh and other Islamic terrorist groups in Syria. Erdogan's quoted saying, "What were the coalition's forces saying in the beginning? They were saying, we will fight against the terrorist organization Daesh to the end. In fact, they were accusing us of supporting Daesh. Now they've all disappeared. On the contrary, they give support to terrorist groups, including Daesh, the YPG, that's the Kurdish People's Protection Units, the Democratic Union Party, and others. It's very clear," he said. "We have confirmed evidence with pictures, photos, and videos." And Radio Havana writes, the U.S. and some of its regional allies, in particular Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey, have on a number of occasions been accused of arming and funding militant groups fighting the Syrian government for nearly 6 years. Ankara deems the PYD as a branch of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, which has been engaged in an armed insurgency against the Turkish state since 84. So speaking for myself, I guess Erdogan is feeling like, he's probably angry. Due to various events there in Turkey, he's becoming increasingly a dictator. And of course, what Erdogan doesn't say is the reason that he has, as he says, the confirmed evidence with pictures, photos, and videos is because he was in it up to his eyeballs. He was a part of it, part of funding what he calls Daesh. And in the U.S., we're not familiar with that. We're talking about Al-Qaeda-like groups, basically, ISIS, ISIL. Daesh. Daesh is a pejorative term. Fine with me. Bunch of jerks. Call them Daesh. So that's kind of the news you're not supposed to know. Now, from Bloomberg, this news, U.S. billionaires, including Buffett, favored Trump's rival Hillary Clinton. Still, they profited from his victory when they added $77 billion to their fortunes in the post-election rally, fueled by expectations that regulations against corporate criminality would ease and American industry owners would benefit. The New York real estate mogul is building a cabinet heavy on wealth and corporate connections, Light on Government Experience, a mix that hedge fund billionaire Ray Dalio said last week would unleash the animal spirits of capitalism and drive markets even higher. And I don't know which animals he's talking about. Anyway, Dalio is the world's 63rd richest person with $14 billion. Investors and executives welcomed Trump's picks, including billionaire Wilbur Ross to lead the Department of Commerce and former Goldman Sachs Group Incorporated executive Steven Mnuchin as his Treasury Secretary, and they have a combined net worth of at least $5.5 billion, according to the index. But compare that with, from Mint News, local activists attempting to hand out food and gifts to the homeless were shocked on Thursday afternoon when Houston police, this was last week, forced the homeless to throw away the donations. About 1 p.m. on Thursday, several individuals met in downtown Houston to distribute plates of hot food, blankets, and other supplies to the city's growing homeless population. Soon after, Houston police arrived on the scene of two different intersections when the homeless advocates were giving out gifts and food. According to witness testimony posted on Facebook, the police instructed the homeless to throw away everything they had been given. Not only were the police called, one post reads, but they brought a large garbage truck and are forcing the homeless to throw away their food, pillows, and other items. Isn't that charming? So that's where wealth distribution is at in the United States right now. And I guess that comes on the tail of a call talking about Occupy and class awareness. And boy, do I think we need to get more class awareness, because there is one class that is screwing us hard. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Mary Jane is on the air.
Oh, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Hope you're doing well. I try to listen to your shows and be informed as much as I can. I'm not a technology person, as I've said before, but a KBOO supporter. But I want to give a little perspective from a sweet home way down in Linn County, and it's very Trump land, TP, as
okay,
I call it.
Okay, lay it on us from sweet home.
Yeah, and I live in an affordable community. I'm 68. I talk about divided classes. I do cleaning jobs to, for extra money, but money. And, man, women, stop buying shoes is what I can say. It's just like, wow. My head's spinning from what you just said about the food. What a sin.
How brutal is that?
Oh, my God. But I used to do all the marches against Reagan and all that, and lived in West Virginia, so I appreciate you talking about the bunkers a few weeks back. We used to drive by, we worked in Virginia and used to drive by Mount Weather, and it was very eerie. And yeah, it's a very oppressed community in West Virginia.
Yeah, the elite don't have to care about, nuclear war. They've got their hidey holes.
Exactly, and people don't understand that. They have their hydroponic gardens under there. I mean, people are not in reality. I mean, there's no free will, independent thinking. But what I just want to say, people need to wake up when they, I mean, going to marches and everything is great and all the workshops. I can't do that anymore. I speak out. I walk around a lot in Sweet Home. I used to live up in the hills. But when I see injustices, I speak out. There's Confederate flags a-flying, and I'm saying one did come down, and there's another one I can't get to because it's in the backyard. But our local grocery store, we only have Safeway and Thriftway. There was a young man, a black young man, that was hired a few months back, and I would go and talk, just say things to him and watch the people, the customers. And it didn't take much observance to see the hate and the disrespect. So I confronted management Friday night, Teresa, and asked them, I'll try and make this brief, I just get
okay.
So, where is Wayne, I said. And they, oh, he was here this morning. And I said, oh, good, I thought the good old boys might shoot him off. And he goes, oh, the black kid. Oh, he didn't work out. He was lollygagging. Have you heard of that? Lollygagging.
Lollygagging.
Lollygagging. So people, us of the white persuasion, need to speak out when we see injustices, inequities, and the hate, because it is rampant around here. I mean, you can just, it's in the air, and it is thick, and it's very, I'm rural, I'm like 40 miles east of Corvallis, and we're like back in time. And
well, this is why I'm talking so much about the general strike, is I think people need to have an opportunity to have a gesture against this imposition of minority rule, against white supremacy rule, and it is potentially extremely, well, it's already extremely toxic. And events, you know, like, it's like you can never look at one event like that unless you just, you know, deeply investigate and know exactly what happened. But I think I get the gist of what you're saying, that, you know, for merely ceasing to move for one moment, the man was let go, and actually the reason was because he ceased to move for one moment and was not white.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for your call. The number to call is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Leah is on the air.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
My main comment is I want to respond to the lady who called in and said she was in her 70s and couldn't do a lot of things anymore. I just turned 74, and I'm going to be at the march, but I'm also going to be doing some other things. I'm going to be taking my little power tools, my staff, my Native American stuff, and I'm going to go be standing in Portland down in Pioneer Square. That's our living room. And I'm going to take a rock and stand on it, because we need to remember that what Standing Rock was all about was, it's not just about the Native Americans and their rights and stuff. It's about water. And without water, there's no life. And it has to be clean water. So I'm going to be doing that. But I also wanted to tell her that there are lots of us. We need to organize. Do you remember the Black Panthers, or the grannies that Ron Wyden organized? The
Raging Grannies?
Yeah, the Raging Grannies. But the group that he organized, I was around and living over in North Portland when he did that. And I remember thinking that was the coolest thing in the world. I think we need to do that again, the grandmothers, the elders, because in the Native American and many cultures, it's the grandmothers who have the last say, because we hold the next generation.
Well, then I have good news for you, because there's a whole lot of organizing going on right now. And if I can say, if there's one good thing about Trump getting the presidency, is it seems to have been an electrical shock to a great number
yes.
of people, and things
yeah.
are definitely things are definitely coalescing. Thanks very much for your call. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. 503-231-8187. Jackie's on the air.
Yeah, I'll help you get along to the Russian issue, and I keep hearing it in driving around in the afternoon, listening to the other public radio station that has BBC and all that stuff. They keep referring to the election as being definitely hacked by the Russians, not even speculative at this point, not even something to be investigated, but as a fait accompli. And I don't know if you noticed, but about a week or two ago, there was a group of CIA veterans with Ray McGovern is in there.
Yeah.
VIP Kiriakou. Kiriakou is one of them. Binney is another member. And they all looked at everything they could find about that issue, and they stated that these emails were not hacked, they were leaked. And they're basing that on their own experience and expertise in working in these systems, and basically just saying that if these were hacked, there would be a signature in each one that you could identify it as a hacked email. Moreover, NSA
well, I think you're,
knows
I think
everything.
You're absolutely right about that. There's an article by Sam Biddle in The Intercept about that, and he starts off saying there's good reasons to believe Russians had something to do with the breaches in the email accounts belonging to the Democratic Party, and it's a long article, but he winds it up saying, look more closely, and you can't help but notice all the qualifying words, possibly, appears, connects, indicates, it's impossible or at least dishonest, he writes, to present the evidence for Russian responsibility for hacking the Democrats without using language like this. The question then is this: do we want to make major foreign policy decisions with a belligerent nuclear power based on suggestions alone, no matter how strong? And I think you're right. It's all it's all based on the fact that the so-called intelligence community, the 17 known secret police agencies, are more or less united, saying the Russians did it, but they don't have any evidence. And if the Russians actually had done it, they would have all kinds of evidence. So it's a beautiful case of a big lie.
And I think it's pointing to The thing that's spinning out of their control, which is this Russian-Iranian-Syrian alliance in the Middle East, that is actually leading more expeditiously toward peace in the region than anything that NATO has done there. NATO has done nothing but stir up trouble, and people who are wringing their hands over the failure in the Middle East need to rethink that. It's actually mission accomplished.
I think you're right. They're much more. I think you're right. They're much more expeditious. I think you're absolutely right. They're much more expeditious, of course, so long as you're willing to allow a whole lot of blasted apart people and cities in the word expeditious. Hey, thanks for your call.
Agreed. It's war, and it's a horrible thing. But why is war being waged? And I think that if you look at what's coming from Russia and Iran, they're more concerned about putting things back together again than the NATO's agenda, which is to fail states.
Well, I think you're right about that. And thanks for calling in. Number call 503-231-8187. From Exxon's own site, ExxonMobil has had a continuous business presence in Russia for more than 20 years across upstream, downstream, and chemical operations. They say their offices are located in Moscow and Yuzhno-Sakhalinsk, and their downstream offices are located in Moscow, St. Petersburg, Yekaterinburg, Novosibirsk, and Vladivostok. And they're proud of their Sakhalin 1 project under the affiliate Exxon Neftegas. Has explored, developed, and operated the Sakhalin 1 project since the early 90s. And Sakhalin 1 includes three oil and gas blocks, Chevo, Adoptu, and Arkutundagi, and Arkutundagi, located off the northeast coast of Sakhalin Island in the Russian Far East. The August 2011, Rosneft and ExxonMobil concluded a strategic cooperation agreement to establish the framework for joint oil exploration and production in Russia. The United States and other countries, and skipping ahead, more than $250 million has been provided for Sakhalin and Khabarovsk Krai infrastructure improvements in support of the roads, bridges, harbors, airports. The tankers used to deliver Sakhalin oil for Exxon all over the world have a capacity of 100,000 tons of crude oil. There are 42 meters wide, about the same width as Lenin Square. The length of the tankers is 800 feet. Height from keel to mast exceeds 170 feet, which makes it as high as a 17 to 18 story building. In other words, Exxon is in Russia for billions and billions, and now Rex Tillerson of Exxon is Secretary of State. And that's why I brought up Murmansk. Murmansk is a city in the north of Russia that's hoping it's sort of the point guard for the opening of the Northwest Passage, which is to say the destruction of the entire planet for the sake of petroleum profits by wiping out the ice cap in the north. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and William is on the air.
Hello. One minor point of clarification. Earlier you repeated a statement which, if I recall correctly, was made by the head of Turkey that the U.S. is supporting Daesh.
Erdogan, yeah.
Yes, the Daesh is not Al-Qaeda. Daesh is another term for ISIS, is my understanding.
Well, those groups flow so readily into each other. It's the Islamic fundamentalists that are being paid out of Saudi, Qatar, and groups, yes, in Turkey and the United States. So I find it, for my broadcast, you know, since I have an hour on the air, I don't find it useful to distinguish very well between them. It's true they fight amongst themselves to some extent, but you know when what was the name of the group that was promoted? No, I can't remember the name. There was one group that was promoted so much, and they were supposed to be moderate Islamic terrorists, whatever that means. And their weapons, of course, ended up with ISIL. And the term Daesh is a pejorative, broad term referring to fundamentalist terrorists.
Okay. Yeah, just wanted to make clear that that at least some people do make distinctions and saying that a statement that the U.S. supported Daesh is fairly strong statement.
And perfectly accurate. I mean, right down to man pads and bullets.
All right. Well, thank you for allowing me to make my statement.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
And thank you for all you're doing on the Trump front.
All right. Thanks for calling. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Murmansk. When the Soviet Union collapsed, Murmansk, by far the world's largest settlement within the Arctic Circle, went into steep decline, its population tumbling from nearly 500,000 to barely 300,000. This is from an article in The Guardian by Sean Walker. Now, however, many there are anticipating a renaissance driven by the Kremlin's belief in the strategic importance of the Arctic and melting Arctic ice caused by global warming. The principal hope revolves around the Northern Sea Route, a passage through the Russian Arctic from Murmansk in the west to Kamchatka in the east. West-to-east journeys are one-third shorter via this transit route than through the Suez Canal. It will be used to transport the vast oil and gas resources in the Russian Arctic. And speaking for myself, these are the Exxon billions I was talking about, to internal and international markets. Currently, a nuclear icebreaker is needed to accompany vessels traveling along the route, but as the ice melts and it's melting fast, that could change. There's more on the article, but number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Been talking about various things. And we were just a moment ago talking about a news item where Erdogan of Turkey was rather hypocritically saying that he had evidence that the West is funding Daesh. And as I was saying, it's hypocritical because he was up to his eyeballs in that. And I'm not particularly sympathetic to him and his dictator-like ways and his false flag bombings. But hey, I'm an American, so how much room do I have to cop an attitude there? Number to call, 503-231-8187. It seems that we set the tone for that sort of corruption, don't we? But returning to the article by Sean Walker, Vasily Osin, the region's acting transport minister, is quoted saying, "We have all the conditions here to become a major international hub." He said a major project to renovate Murmansk port would be completed in the coming years, Exxon. And Moscow has announced a program to construct or renovate 10 ports in the Russian Arctic in order to facilitate a revival of the Northern Sea routes. And I am pointedly reading this information because it's just a very handy for the petroleum world destruction industry that Exxon, which is in charge of what's happening in Sakhalin Island and involved in Russia and Murmansk, now has their man as Secretary of State of the United States government. Incredible. Hey, what are you doing on January 20th, what actions do you intend to take? Or do you intend to just watch it all go by? Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Sunny is on the air.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to say Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. I think it'll be a good one.
I think it'll be lots of action. Wow. 2016. Wow. Something else. But anyway, and thank you for everything. And as far as the Women's March, I was just asking a nice person if men are going to be welcome in the march, and I would suppose so. I would hope so.
I would be very surprised if that were not the case.
Yeah, I think that's great. And it would be nice to see perhaps a man would hold up a sign, and I'm sure men can think of all sorts of stuff that's just as clever or more, that says, "I am my sister's friend, and I won't beat her, I won't rape her, I won't human trafficker, I won't what's that circumcision thing that they do on women, I will not do this, I will not do that, da, 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 da." And all the men that come, what a wonderful thing to see, and truly in my heart, how very, very welcome you are. You're all really lovable. That's all I have to say.
An interesting sentiment. Thank you very much for calling in. 503-231-8187. Been talking about what to do about Trump. Been asking women what you plan to do. What's your attitude towards Trump? What you plan to do or not do about the inauguration? And of course, the Women's March has come up. That is what I'm reading about the preparations in Washington for what is going to be a rather tumultuous inauguration. They're concerned about the protests, and it's pretty obvious that one day of protests will meld into the next day. The Women's March, I believe at this point, is the only one that has been permitted. It's on the following day. The authorities in Washington are holding out. They are not permitting more than a dozen groups that have asked for major multi-thousand person permits to express their First Amendment rights there in Washington, D.C. on the 20th. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. And it really is, at this point, up to It's up to the authorities. They are very good at managing things peacefully when they want to. Morally, I don't know that it should be peaceful. In terms of my position right here, broadcasting on the People's Radio Station, I don't know that I can go further in my opinions in that regard. Probably it should be. But it's going to be a mess, that's for sure. And there will be men at the Women's March. There will be a great number of people still there in Washington from all over the East Coast and elsewhere, too. Probably people are flying over from the West Coast to be there on the 20th, on Inauguration Day, in order to, sort of take the reins of power back from white minority rule and from, as I have said and will continue to say, was a stolen election. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Now, I was talking about Murmansk. Let's go back to Murmansk for a minute. According to the article by Sean Walker, it was founded in 1916 in the twilight of the Tsarist Empire, developed as a Soviet gateway to the Arctic, mainly due to the year-round ice-free port. The frigid temperatures that would be expected at that latitude are tempered somewhat by the last whispers of the Gulf Stream, and the city has always experienced unpredictable weather. It can rain in January and snow in July. This has led many locals to be skeptical of global warming as a phenomenon. Indeed, many dismiss it as a Western myth, but there's no doubt that something is changing. Satellite pictures show record low ice levels. Navigation is becoming possible for larger periods. And as I was saying, this is good news for Exxon profits. They quote Maxim Bilov, a member of the regional parliament, saying 3 years ago, boats could only go out into the Kara Sea at the end of July, but this year it was the middle of July. He is a fourth generation Murmansk resident, innately hardy to the conditions dictated by the latitude. He dreams of a time when an Arctic region of newly built ports might assure easy passage for thousands of transit ships. So as I was saying, things are going very nicely for Exxon and for their Russian partners, for Rex Tillerson and for Trump. And that is, as I was trying to establish with my doomsaying news at the beginning of the program, that comes in the context of a dying planet, and we need to be going as fast as we can, as hard as we can, with a World War II-like mobilization against climate change instead of having this sexist, racist monster push it further. What do you plan to do about it? I've heard of the general strike January 20th. Number to call with your comments and questions. Or are you afraid? You going to be afraid? It's your choice, man. I've seen that before. I remember when Reagan took office, I had the same attitude. I went out to the University of Texas to the West Mall, and I had a petition to impeach him. I don't remember what it was for one of his for one of the things that 110 of his appointees were indicted, and I think like 86 were convicted. He was so corrupt. He's corrupt like Trump, and we make him out to be this great hero. It's so idiotic. It's so propagandistic. It's so American. And I was out there with that, standing out with my impeach Trump banner and my impeach Reagan, and get up to the right decade, petition, and people come up to me and whisper, I'd like to sign, they'd say, but I don't want to get in trouble. Oh, for God's sake. But, you know, some people are just fearful, I guess. And yeah, we do live in the age of surveillance, and yeah, the worst people, if they weren't worse before, the worst people are going to be in charge of that. And there's power in numbers, and you can either fight back or not. Not fighting back, I would like to say, is a powerful gesture for the fascists. Boy, are you on their side if you clam up and shiver. Because that's just the way it's going to work out. Number to call, 503-231-8187. I have some bad news for Trump. It's article by John Fitzgerald Weaver in Electrek.co, and they do solar panels, solar research. Quote Terry Leperc, head of research, technology, and innovation at French energy company NGSA, said in an interview at Bloomberg that he sees a potential for the cost of solar electricity to fall below $10 a megawatt hour. That's 1 cent per kilowatt hour. in the sunniest climates by 2025. Leperc believes solar, battery storage, electrical, and hydrogen vehicles and connected devices are in a J-curve of upward growth potential. One consequence of this new energy economy is that the price of oil could drop to $10, pardon me, if markets anticipate a significant fall in demand. The promise, he says, of quasi-infinite and free energy is here. Now, what does this mean in the context of Exxon taking power in the United States? They have a few years. I mean, they can't fight this technological change. This is already happening. These solar panels, not just solar panels, solar roads, solar windows, solar coatings are becoming so cheap and so available. And so many factories are going up, they can't stop it any more than the whaling industry could stop the advent of the oil industry. This is a change. It's going to be 10 cents for a kilowatt. It's going to be 1 cent for a kilowatt hour, and there's nothing they can do about it. So what can they do? They can take over the United States and push and push and push and try to get 4 or 5 years of mega profits. That's what they're trying to do. Screw the planet. They don't care. They've got the bunkers. Nuts to you. Death, literally, by heat prostration to billions of people in the tropics. Oh, that's a, so what? They'll get their billions. They'll have their bunkers. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Chris is on the air.
Yes, hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Hi, I just first want to tell you how much I appreciate your show. I've been listening for years, and you've informed me and helped me along the way so much. Thank you so much. I am. I live in 60 miles south of, say, Portland, and in a little rural town. And I am booked to go to the Women's March because I live in an area that is was Tea Party and now is Drump land, and I need to speak up. I try to speak up in my community. I have KBOO, you know, poster in my window. The thing is, with KBOO, it's preaching to the choir. I feel I wish there was a way to reach out to communities that I live in. They're not informed about these things. I can only do so much, and I'm an activist down here, but it makes me sad.
Well, there's some things we can change and some things that we can't. One reason I was talking last week about posters is that, you know, you've got social media, you've got community radio, but there has to be cues for people to look. You know, there's so much information. There have to be visual cues for people to look at what's happening. So there are ways to organize. It can be done, but the corporate-owned media, as it exists right now, is just a perfect propaganda machine. It's amazing.
Yes, and I don't think that's going to change. That is the word I try to spread with my friends here, the ones that I do act with, and we do try to get the word out that mainstream media is such a propaganda machine, or to at least expand your horizons and listen to other belief systems, and I'll keep doing that. I just wanted to tell you, though, I am a rural person in Oregon who is going to the Women's March in Washington.
Right on.
And I'm really excited.
Yeah, it is exciting. Yeah, wow.
I'm going with some other people from Oregon.
Where are you
going
to stay?
A coalition going from Oregon. Pardon?
How are you going to handle lodging?
In Baltimore. And staying in Baltimore and busing into Washington, D.C.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, it's crowded. There's no rooms anywhere. Anyway, I'm excited about it, and I hope to take pictures and bring those back. And
good on you.
I'll do what I can.
All right. Yeah, share them on social media.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for calling. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Now, I think I will wrap up because getting towards the top of the hour. And so a few things to say. One, from deep in my heart, I hope that you choose to resist. Secondly, it is the new year coming up. So you just have a few days. And really, what better time than right now? Things are kind of quiet, aren't they? Just to pull up KBOO.FM tag. KBOO.FM and tag us for a few bucks. You can do that. And, if you set it up right, you'll get your money right back in February or whenever you file and how that works out. One more thing I want to say before I run along is that a lot of us have had a tough financial year. Don't forget the Debt Resistors Operations Manual from StrikeDebt.org. If you can remember StrikeDebt.org, and the initials DROM, so it's strikedebt.org/DROM, Debt Resistors Operations Manual. Or if you use a search engine and pull up the Debt Resistors Operations Manual, you will find information that will ease your passage, especially if you have credit card debt, A lot of times people take what, if you really knew the facts, is a ridiculous and anti-moral attitude towards paying off those credit cards. Listen, that debt didn't exist. That money didn't exist until you bought something on the credit card. Don't feel bad about it. Just learn how to screw the banks, frankly, with the Debt Resistors Operations Manual. It's free. It's online. DebtResistors.org. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for more of the Radio Zine. And you've been listening on 90.7 FM in the greater Portland area from our Eiffel-like red and white broadcast tower there on the West Hills. And you've been listening via KBOO.FM around the world and to all the ships at sea.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for listening to KBOO Portland, community radio for Portland. A minute now before 10 o'clock. We're about an hour away from Between the Covers. Today, welcoming Melissa Yancey, author of the new collection of short fiction, Dog Years. And at 11:30, Radio Zine presents The Union Edge with a warning about unpaid internships and how Scandinavians got the economy right. But up next, it's On the Ground Radio and part four of Black Power at 50. That's coming right up here on The Boo. Hey, thanks KBOO members for your generous support. A reminder that all new and increased gifts to KBOO are matched one-to-one through the end of the year. And thanks to the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems for that. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
KBOO is gearing up to celebrate 50 years of community radio, and we need your help. Take the Big Events Survey on kboo.fm and help us decide what kind of events you would attend or help build. Go to kboo.fm and click on the survey banner to help prepare for the Kaleidoscope of KBOO, Past, Present, and Future, 50th Anniversary Celebration.
I want to remind you, they came for the trade unionists. Well, I want you to know, I'm a trade unionist. They came for socialists, and I want you to know, I was a socialist. They came for Jews, and I was a Jew. And they're coming for Muslims, and we're all Muslims.